Welcome to Whoops.
Whoops. Whoops of the week.
My whoops. My whoops.
Hello and welcome to Whoops.
Welcome to Whoops.
Perfect. That was a perfect landing. We stuck it. We went with it.
Welcome to Whoops, a podcast about mistakes. I'm Holly Perkins.
I'm Mary J. Berger.
How's it going, Mary J.?
It's going good. I moved back into my house.
Oh, yeah, from your parents?
Yes.
How's that going? Is your roommate still crazy?
Yes.
Fun.
So.
How long have you been back at that house?
Like 3 days.
It's going pretty well.
Yeah, it's going. It's going really well. Yeah, it is going really well.
Good. Do you think you'll go back to your parents' house?
Well, I have to go back because my cat lives there. So it's like,
oh yeah,
I do go see them.
Oh yeah,
and also I love my parents.
Oh, okay. Katie just joined the waiting room, so let me admit her.
Okay.
All right. Guys, we have a really wonderful guest this week. She's a very funny comedian. She's a very talented illustrator. She has a really funny Instagram account called Sex is Weird that you all should give a follow. Please welcome to the podcast, Katie Fischel.
Hello!
Yay!
Hello.
Yay! Thanks so much for having me.
We're so happy to have you. How's your quarantine going?
Well, you know, I'll tell you. I would say it's fine. I think I have the immense privilege of just sort of facing, like, the boredom of it, you mm-hmm. know? But I'm, like, very thankful I'm, like, you know, working. I am an illustrator, and so I'm supporting myself like that. And I got a cat, and that's been just a
one.
Oh, yeah.
Feral. Wait, do you guys
tell me
her?
About the cat? Yes, yes.
Hold on. Well, she's here. I'll show you right now. I'm taking my phone and I'm bringing it across. Oh, wait, no, I have a background. Hold on. I wonder if you can see her. Her name is Mrs. Lady. Here
oh,
she is.
Yes, we can
she's
see her.
Stunning. A tuxedo cat.
He's like a snowshoe, I guess. The background is making it weird. Anyway, she's wonderful. We
what's her name?
Mrs. Lady.
Nice.
Wow.
A proper woman. And
I love it.
She's 8 years old. We got her from a farm, and she has a permanent limp. And when we asked them why, they go, it's not anything medical. She just has laid down too much in her life.
Uh-huh.
Same.
Lounged too hard and it gave her a limp.
Oh my
so,
god.
I love used cats. I think they're the freaking best.
Used like, cats.
I like when you get them because they've got so many like quirks and you're like, I don't know where you got that, but I love it.
I know. And I'm just going to spend the rest of our lives together trying to, unpack whatever that is.
Oh, my gosh. Gorgeous. That's so funny. She laid down too much, and now she has a limp.
She's really
that way about myself. I think that's true. My leg has been hurting, and I would say I've laid down a lot in this quarantine.
You know?
I will say the amount of time that I spend horizontal, I'll say, just skyrocketed in the last 5 weeks.
Guys, I feel like this is my big whoops of the week is that I purchased. So I live right. My house like backs up to some woods and I hung a hammock out there. But I was like laying in my hammock and I was like, there's trash everywhere out here. Like old beer bottles and like just old, you know, like woods trash. And so I was like, I want to take some time during the quarantine and clean up this area. And so I bought one of those like trash grabber things off the internet that like old people use to like grab the remote. And I have it right here. And I think though it's going to turn me into the world's laziest person. Like
I have one of those.
I bought it for trash, but now I'm like, oh, I can pick up anything. Like, I can just grab it with this little grabber thing.
Mine
that
has
I got
a
on Amazon.
Shark.
That's a
I
really
have one like it, but it's a shark, and it like
oh yeah, those are like
the shark
toys.
Bites.
Yeah, well, see, I thought it would be like that, like a kind of like a toy. Like I thought
I
it would just
it
be like
trash.
Good for picking up garbage.
I don't have
but this one is like nice, and
yeah,
it's got like padded little hooks. Like it picks shit up so well, and I'm like, well, I'm never gonna get up again. This is just where I'm gonna live.
There was this guy. There was this guy at the school I worked at, and he was a teacher, and he had one of those, and he would walk around the school picking up trash. And one of my students, like, he would let one of my students do it for him. And the kid would, like, freak the fuck out. Like, he'd be so excited. He's like, I can't believe it. I'm like, he'd start, like, shaking. He'd be like, that's really sweet.
Oh, that's so cute.
I just...
yeah, I love it.
I just love, like, how open, like, children are about how they feel at all times. I think it's just the best.
I agree.
Yeah. I really miss working with kids. I worked with them for a long... I mean, I was a nanny up until quarantine, and I lost my job.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I miss... I love kids. I worked at a preschool for a long time in Chicago, and that was just the best. Oh, that's
fun. Yeah.
They're so fucking fun.
Did you have the, like, rope that they, like, grabbed onto when you went places?
Yes. We had one of those, like, big, like, power carts that had, like, eight-seater carts that you'd push down.
Okay.
Street. Yeah, that was really, really fun.
And, yeah, I used to see people when I lived in New York, like, pushing daycares down the street with, like, 10 kids in a cart.
Yeah, those things are heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man, I miss the kids so much. And they really do, like, just say whatever. And there is, like, this
wonderful so real
to it. Yeah, I remember there was, like, one time where we had, like, a doctor from, like, the hospital down the street come and just, like, talk to the kids and whatever. And he was, like, we were, like, learning about shapes or something that week. And he was like, okay, let's start with, okay, circle. Let's name a part of your body that's round, like a circle. And then just this one little boy cross-legged in the front, his arm shot up, and he just went, oh, my nipples are round, like that, just, like, right out of the gate, you know what I mean? It was like, yes. And then, like, the doctor was like, that's right. But it's just, like, he was just so proud of himself to be able to answer and just, like, had no, like, he was just not shy at all. It was that's really nice to watch.
I love that. Like, one of my kids, like, my kids will, like, low-key, like, burn me just by talking to me. Yeah. And, like, one of the students one time was mad at me, and he would, like, then have a dialogue with himself that, like, you weren't supposed to be involved in.
Mm.
And so he's, like, he's this little boy with autism, and he was, like, upset. And so I told him he couldn't do something, and he was like, okay. And then he turns the other way, and he goes, why is Miss Berger so fat?
Oh my. Did you say anything? Can you say anything?
I just looked at him and I was like, I don't know, dude. I mean, I do like to eat. Like, it's just honestly, like, I'm not good at portion control. Like, you have to just be honest.
Oh, yeah, I mean, because there's no, like, skirting around. I mean, yeah, like, kids don't pick up, especially, trying to, like, relate, like, social, like, niceties and whatever. It's just like, oh, fucking good luck, man. It's just not gonna happen.
No.
That's really intense and funny.
Like, I don't care, like, what a kid says to me, because I'm like, whatever. Like, I am fat. Like, you can say whatever. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
If it's funnier than it is mean, like, if it makes me laugh, it's fine.
Right.
And then, like, I also, like, I don't care. And usually I wouldn't have answered, but I did want him to know, like, for other people, that it's like, people do hear you when you talk about them in front of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so funny when,
like, I'll answer your question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny when you, like, I used to have, when I taught, my students would, like, make fun of the way I dressed sometimes, and they'd be like, well, your outfit's so ugly. Your clothes are ugly. And I'd be like, yeah, I fucking hate these clothes. Like, I would look at the kids and I'd be like, yeah, I hate this outfit. Like, I have to wear this because I'm a teacher at your school.
Yeah.
But this isn't what I like to wear. And that would really throw them off when you would, like, agree with their insult, where they'd be like, you look ugly. And I'd be like, I know. I look terrible.
Totally. And it's also, like, very interesting to see how quickly things become, like, existential when you just start going down the, like, why rabbit hole with kids, where there was, like, a kid at the preschool who was, like, yeah, what, Miss Katie, you have like a hole in your pants. And I was like, yes. And she was like, why? And I was like, well, because they're old. Why? Well, because I've had them for a long time. Why? Because I can't afford new pants. Why? Well, because I make $10 an hour looking after you.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because I dropped out of college and this is my only option right now. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, really, within
they
a
really,
second,
let's get down to it. Yeah.
Yeah. They make you just have a come to Jesus all the time. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I heard you. They're like, yeah, a dozen moms. Like, there are a million passive aggressive moms. That's what, yes, kids are.
Yeah.
Are you guys, are either of you still working?
No. I mean, I just got a job, like, well, a babysitting job, but no, right, I'm not working.
I'm also not working. I'm currently furloughed from my job, which means, like, they will probably bring me back, but is unclear as of now. But, like, officially, I'm not working until July 1st.
Jesus
Christ. I know. And that felt like it was going to be so long, but now I'm like, well, I don't know. I feel like April was like a blip.
Yeah, so, you know, what even is April?
Right.
At this
what
point?
Was
I don't
April?
Know.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
April was like 30 movies for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
April was like a series of movies and Zoom birthday calls and more movies and more Zoom birthday calls.
Yeah.
It was just April was one half of a Zoom Passover Seder. Then I went comatose and woke up and it was me.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So what's your deal with nannying? Are they gonna, like, have they talked about bringing you back in or anything?
Well, they are incredibly kind and generous, and like, I kind of made the call to, yeah, like, cut myself off from them, because it was like, you know, I think, you know, when this whole thing started and we just heard like, okay, the next 2 weeks we're shutting down, that's when I was like, okay, well, you know, you do have an obligation to watch out, like, watch my back during this time.
Yeah.
Then when it became like, this is just gonna go on for God knows how long,
right,
then I just started feeling like bad, frankly, for just like, I don't know, like,
yeah,
they helped me for like maybe the first month, which is like awesome. And then after that, it just, I also was lucky because I started making money off of art, and I've been doing like portraits and like taking commissions and stuff, which rocks. And
that's
so
awesome.
Like, that's, you know, and to be real, had been wanting to make that transition for a long time and just didn't have, you know, the chutzpah. Like, I mean, it's just like, yeah, fucking scary to be a freelancer, 'cause you just don't know what you're getting yourself into. You don't know if it's going to work. And then, you know, so far it has been working for the last 2 months. So I just decided, like, you know, as long as I'm receiving any, like, I can pay my rent right now, I can pay my bills, I can feed myself. Yeah, like, is extra money great? Of course it is, but I just,
right,
felt,
yeah,
too weird taking it from them. And like, I think that there's a job there if I want it later, but I also think that, like, I'm just gonna try to, if it's not now, I don't know when, I just would like to try and make my own way, you,
yeah,
know what I mean? And I,
yeah,
so I mean, fucking fingers crossed people keep commissioning me, because that's what's keeping me afloat. But it's so far so good, and it's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I,
yeah,
feel like,
so,
so Katie has a really hilarious Instagram account, and it's sex, is it underscore?
Sex, yes,
underscore,
it's,
underscore.
At sex underscore is underscore weird.
Yeah, and it's just it's pretty on brand with Whoops that it is a lot of like sexual mistakes or things that have happened or discoveries.
Totally.
Just about sex being so damn weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really happy when you guys, I mean, first of all, just being on any podcast of y'all's, because I love you guys. And also, we should say, for the listeners, hello, we've known each other for, like, quite a few years at this point, because we're all,
I know.
Are all y'all from Nashville or no?
I'm from Franklin, technically.
You're from Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not. I just moved to Nashville about 2.5 years ago. Yeah, so Katie lived in Nashville, and that's where we met her.
Yeah.
Are you from Nashville?
I was born and raised in Nashville, and we all met doing comedy. But anyway, so I was, like, really thrilled just to have you guys reach out, because I love you guys. I think you guys are hilarious. And then also, then when you guys told me the theme of the podcast, I was like, oh, baby, sign me up, because I love anything that has to do with, like, you know, I think if there's, I think there's like a thesis to my, like, Instagram account at all, or the cartoons that I make, it is like, you know, something like there is, you should not, like, shame is universal, I suppose, is what I would
think. Yeah.
And everybody has something, no matter, like, how small, and it can be, like, it doesn't have to be something that's, like, massive, or, like, you know, cinematic or whatever, that can, like, really shape someone. Something so small can really, like, form someone's personality, or, like, like a part of someone long term. And I think that's, like, very important to, like, always consider, you know. And, like, shame and embarrassment are just, like, the most important, or some of the most important and intense, like, emotions, and I just think they're never really explored as much as I would like to see them. So it's, like, nice to see, like, I don't know, your podcast is so, it can be, it's so vague, but it's so good. It's like everybody fucking has something. I have one. I thought of it immediately. It's just like, this has been something that I've been sitting on, this mistake that I've made. I've been sitting on it for years, and it's not that big of a deal, but it is a massive deal to me. And so it's like very fun to be able to
stuff. Well, we're so happy to have you. Yeah, yeah, let's get into it. Tell us about the story.
So in high school, basically, there's so much about this when I was thinking about it that I've just, like, I've buried, and I just think I'm excited to unpack this. So basically,
oh, I love it.
Great.
So high school, I think I was, like, a sophomore, so I was, like, 15, and nice.
I don't mean it like that, sorry.
What'd you say, nice?
Yeah.
Nobody can see this on the podcast, but Mary J is licking her lips and sort of gesturing. always a good age for extreme mortification.
Embarrassment.
So a Bonnaroo Music Festival happens, like, just outside of Nashville every year, and I would go every year with my friends. And I think I, like, prided myself on, like, knowing about music, or, like, knowing a little bit about music, or being able to, like, talk about music with my friends or whatever. I just, like, I wanted to be able to be a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. One year, Al Green, like, the great Al Green, was headlining Bonnaroo.
Nice. Oh, people were probably so fucking horny.
What?
Everybody was probably so fucking, like, even more horny.
Everybody was so horny. They were, oh, yeah, everybody was super horny for Al. We were all, like, getting ready. I knew who Al Green was. I knew who Al Green was. I knew that he was a prominent, like, soul, like, pioneer of, like, the 1970s. Yeah. But somehow, I guess at the time, just, like, couldn't name a song. Just couldn't name a single Al Green song. And but I don't know if I was, like, fully aware.
I can't name one, but I can sing one.
What?
I said, I can't name one, but I can sing one. You know when you're like, I can't name it. I don't know the name. But.
Yes. and the fact that you just said that is really perfect, because that's the whole point of this story, Mary Kay. Okay. So basically,
I'm an empath.
She's an empath, and this is a big deal. I'm sweating thinking about this, because it makes me so ashamed. Basically, what kept happening, and I was not alone in this, which kind of makes it better, but also makes it much worse, was that my friend and I were I guess when we started talking about, oh my God, Al Green's going to be at Bonnaroo, I was like, I don't know how this started, but one of us was like, what's that Al Green song? And we were talking about it, and I guess we just got, we misconstrued Al Green for Marvin Gaye, and we thought that Al Green had written Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On, which is like, you know, separately a massive anthem, right? So, which isn't crazy. No. It's not like, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's like, yeah, two like very prominent soul singers of the same era. It's like, okay, you can whatever. But what kept happening was that when the Bonnaroo buzz and like the lineup hit town or whatever, and everybody was like talking about it, and everybody was going to go, was like talking about who they're going to see. Everybody was talking about Al Green, and anytime Al Green's name would come up in conversation for like truly like a week, my friend and I would just start singing Let's Get It On, and we would like make this whole like show out of it to like show that we were like such good Al Green fans and like so fucking hyped to see him. And we would just like make a meal out of it. Like we would just like get so, it was, it, there are so many layers to this, but it was like, one, we wanted attention. I thought about this a lot. It's like, we wanted attention. We like wanted to like make people laugh, I guess, but we also like wanted people, we sort of wanted to force people to like make sure that they knew that we were a part of the conversation and we were like the biggest Al Green fans. So what I would happen is, it's just like the most 15-year-old kid thing to do, yeah. I think. And like, you're just like embarrassed.
I feel like you always have those like intentions sometimes, but you just like, whether or not you learn to like curb them is like, if you're an okay adult.
Yes. I mean, I think it's, I know. I know, and I thought about it a lot, and I was like, I know it's not that big of a deal, but it was just, we just went so hard on it. It was we were so deeply wrong, and it was like, the fact that we're doing it to prove that we're fans of this person, when anyone with ear, the conversation was always like, oh, cool, like, I can't wait, like, Al Green's gonna be at Bonnaroo, and we would, like, walk by and be like, oh, Al Green, and then we would, like, go into it, both together, and we would be, like, dancing, like, let's get it on, baby, and, like, really, like, get into, like, wanna get it on, and we'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, Al Green, love Al Green.
How did you find out? When did you find out that it was an incorrect assumption?
When we found out, I want to say, I mean, when we found out, it wasn't that late in the game, but it was certainly like we had done that at least 10 times to people, just to various people, my crush, you know what I mean? Like everybody that like mattered. Because that's who you're doing that stuff to. That's who you want, like, people to see you. You want people to, like, see you, like, moving and, like, grooving and, like, being, I don't know, I don't fucking know. You just want to be cool so bad.
Oh, so bad.
So to just, like, just to, like, fuck up that hard and have everybody, like, know that you have fucked up and not say anything and just sort of, like, blindly nod and agree is, like,
bad. When people are nice about things, it's the worst feeling. When you're like, people notice that, and then they were so nice because they loved me that they didn't say anything.
It's the worst. It's like, there's no, it's the worst thing. Why is that so bad?
Because it's like, so bad.
You know, it's like, what's the alternative? Like, someone interrupts you, and then they're like, actually, that's Marvin Gaye. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, that would ruin my life.
That stings, like, too.
The fact that you, I guess it's like also, that's part of it. It's like, it's so much less worse thinking jarring. About, excuse me?
Oh, it's less jarring if you don't have like a huge significant, like somebody like being like, you're wrong.
Yes. And I think it, exactly. I think it like, it creates like you give yourself too much room to like fill in those blanks in your memory of like, oh God, everybody knew and everybody was laughing and everybody, it's like, that's probably not true. And like maybe people clocked it, you know, and then they're just like, whatever, this is like kind of lame, but like nobody cares. No, the important thing about this stuff is like nobody's thinking about this.
No, nobody knows. Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but it's also like, I've truly, you guys, I've literally thought about that every week since it happened.
Right. That's the thing. That shit sticks with you. Like, you're just that pure embarrassment of like, the only reason that we try to do that is because we're like, oh, I want to impress you with my knowledge, or like, let you think that I'm very cool because I know about a thing. And so when it backfires, you're like, not only do you know that I'm not cool, you know that I was trying to look cool. And that's like the biggest crime anybody can commit, is trying to look cool.
It's so, it's so bad. And it's like, you just think that like people, and that's what's so specifically brutal about that to me, about that circumstance to me, is that it's like the nature of it was like, we would just sort of, you know, spontaneously burst into song together. We would just sort of like, it's like, oh, like, no, like we didn't plan it. Like, no, no, like sort of like we were swept away by the moment. And we sang the same like part of the song every time. And like, we had like moves that we had like done. We were 15 and we were like, yes, this is like what we will do anytime we hear Al Green's name. And then we were just like, had like kind of choreographed to be like, we're casual and we're not thinking about it, but we just sort of like are on sort of on the same wavelength, and we're just such good friends, and we like, you know, are just so casual and so comfortable in ourselves that we can sort of burst into song whenever we want. And yeah, obviously that's false and like so choreographed and so planned. We probably talked about it beforehand, which is so insane, but it's like, it's just, it's literally just like a peek into like, as much as I want to believe in my heart that, like, I wasn't that bad in high school, it's, like, thinking about shit like that, it's, like, oh, every day I was, like, just sort of twitching and, like, just wincing at, like, any, like, aspect. Like, it's just, like, I'm so constantly embarrassed and humiliated all the time and just trying to look normal at all cost. You know what I mean?
At least you had a friend. Like, everything is calculated. You know, at least you had somebody in it with you who was, like, also embarrassing themselves.
Yeah. What did you say? I'm sorry?
At least you, like, had somebody who was also embarrassing themselves with you, you know? You weren't alone.
Yeah. It's nice to not be alone, I guess.
Yeah.
Also,
I think I'm trying to collect this right, because I was, like, oh, my favorite ending for this story would be that you're at Bonnaroo and you're watching the concert, and then you're like, when the fuck are they gonna play That's Getting On?
It'd be even funnier. You're
just like, I've been singing it for months. Like,
it's, you know, it's so funny because, like, I do remember, like, I mean, when we found out, it was just, I think we laughed a lot together about it, but it was definitely like, we hate ourselves, and this is really bad, and like, this is sort of the end of the world, and like, truly couldn't imagine something worse, you know, but then sort of like, to try to casually skirt around it in Social Search, like, because like, we went to Barbara with like a bunch of our friends, and all of those friends that we went with, we had sung the song in front of. So like, when it came time for everyone to go see Al Green together in like a fun group, I think in the back of both of our heads, we were just like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, we were just sort of very much forcing it, being like, just having casual fun, you know what I mean? Like, kind of freaking out.
Big Al fans.
Nothing's worse than like having to like play something off and not just being able to be like, because I would never do this myself. Like, I could never just be like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I don't think I can ever get over this. And then it's like,
yeah,
you have to just pretend. Like, when someone roasts you, it's like, I do think it's funny. But then I'm also like, oh my God, okay, I'm going to think about it for a while.
Totally. And I think it's like, it's completely unnatural in like 9 times out of 10. To, like, in the moment, stop and be like, oh, you know, that was a mistake, or actually that hurt my feelings, and I'm just letting you know that maybe you meant that, but actually it's very embarrassing. Like, nobody's that evolved. No. I just feel like you can't process that stuff, and so your natural reaction is to go, and then you sort of hold on to it for 15 years.
Or I pull the thing where you're like, that was a test. I was trying to see if you knew. And you clearly didn't know, so.
I feel like honestly, I'm so glad to talk to you, Katie, because I felt like I had this whoops with you when I had that, like, thing about your ex-boyfriend.
Wait, what happened?
Remember when I thought he was making fun of me, but he just had a foreign accent?
Wait, tell the story, Mary J.
Oh my god, that's so awesome. That's the fun. And did you like tell that on stage though once?
Or? I did. It never worked, so I just quit. But like, I honestly it's like, I don't know. I got really high one night and I like got in my head about it and I was like, I don't think Katie Fischel likes me because I made fun of her boyfriend, kind of, but I didn't mean to.
No, that's for contact. Holly, do you know about this?
No, Mary J., tell the story for our listeners.
Okay, so I was talking to Laura Peek and Laura Peek's boyfriend, Carson, and Katie's... I don't know. I assume an ex-boyfriend.
Very much ex-boyfriend, yes.
I thought I had heard that it was an ex. Okay, so I didn't know he was, like, from another country. Yeah. And so he didn't say much while we were, like, talking, and I was talking about, like, onion rings that I liked. Because guess what? I like onion rings, and I want to talk about them. And I... And Carson is, like, one of those really smart people that you can, like, talk about literally anything with him. Ugh, and then he's, like...
Let's all take a moment and shout out to Laura Peek's boyfriend, Carson McKinney. Holy
friend of the podcast, Laura Peek, has really such a sweet, sweet boyfriend.
Really sunk her claws.
He's so... Ugh.
He puts up with a lot of comedians' bullshit.
Hot. Smart. Yes. Speaks multiple languages. A sweet, sweet.
Delightful.
Delightful.
Love Carson. And he puts so up with so much, like, late night comedy bullshit that.
Oh, I know. Mean, I've he's seen, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed.
Comics just roast each other, and he'll just stand there and be like, go ahead, roast away. He's just.
He'll
very
just
nice.
Take it. I'm so lucky because he and Laura moved out to LA in October, and they literally are walking distance from my house. I can go to Laura's house
that's so
10
nice.
Minutes on foot.
That's
so
amazing.
Good. We went on a socially distanced walk the other day, and it is it's really
that's
nice.
Great.
So, just the best human beings in the world. I'm sorry, Mary J., I cut you off because we had to talk about him.
No, I don't care. We had to. He's great. Well, I had to explain why I was talking about onions because it's like, then Carson is such an interesting person. He'll be like, oh, I saw a documentary on onions. Like, I mean, anyway. So
it's true, though.
I always learn something new from him, and I am an auditory learner, so that's how I learn, is people in bars telling me things.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to them, and we were talking about the onions, and then her ex-boyfriend, I don't remember his name, and he was like, onions? And I like, he said it in like an Italian accent, but I thought he was like, mocking me.
So funny.
And so, being like, onions, like,
yeah, I thought he was like, oh, onions. And so I looked at him and I was like, I didn't say it like that. And I just like,
which is like truly like, if it had been a mistake, it would just be like possibly the most violent thing you could do to someone. Like, that's not how we see it.
Be like, it's onion.
So I'm like, wow, like, because I was really like, I wasn't like sober. Like, it's not like we were having. So I was like, And I'm very self-involved. It's like, of course I thought he was, like, mocking me no matter what it sounded like. And so I was like, I was just like, oh, he's being mean to me. He's a man. He's being mean to me.
So funny.
And that's so...
I found out
from Laura, like, later. She was like, oh, yeah, and he's from Italy. And I was like, oh, I thought he was mean. Like, I was like,
so awesome. That's so funny. I completely forgot about this. And I only remember snippets of that evening, but I definitely remember that night because I believe it happened at the East Room, the venue that we all go do a mic at. And I remember, did you come up to me? Did you address it in the moment or no?
No, I talked to you later. I was like, because Laura told me to tell you. She was like, you should tell Katie that.
Because it's the funniest thing in the world. It's like so, I mean, and that's the thing. That's like, I love that story. Because it's like, I don't know. It just hits so many notes. It's like you're like protecting yourself, which I think is really rad. Or you're like standing up, like, because if there was a world where he was like making fun of you, like, you would have every right to be like, that's not what I'm fucking saying. Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
But then it's like just sort of the opposite, just truly the opposite of a foreign person trying his best to fit in.
It's also so funny. Really, he was like, onions? Like, he wasn't saying anything.
Like, I'm trying to clarify.
Yeah, like, he's trying to... he's just trying to understand, and you're like, okay, don't fucking talk to me like that.
So
like,
really awesome. That was, like, one of the wildest months, because I dated this guy, he was Italian, and we were long distance for a second, and then he came to stay with my family. Like, he hadn't met anybody before, and he came to stay and live with us in Tennessee for a month. And it was, I mean, probably before I think I had learned, it was, like, probably not the best idea. And I think I thought that, like, it would, like, save us if we were... like, if he came to stay with me. I don't know what. Yes. All I remember is, like, I was, like, pretty unhappy, and I remember, like, kind of being sort of relieved to, like, bring him out, and then just sort of, this is really mean, but, like, kind of just, like, have the freedom to sort of leave him with my friends and like, under the guise of, like, oh, no, I have to do an open mic, and, like, you know, goodbye, and I remember hearing that story and really, really laughing so hard. And I mean, I'm not laughing at anyone for having an accent, but it's just a really funny situation. And also, like, no, I like, you know, to top it off, it's like, I guess the theme of this, or part of the theme of this, is like, I didn't think about it twice. I mean, I like, it's so funny that you internalized
that. I like, yeah.
No, Mary J. I'll take this opportunity now to say that I think both of y'all are wonderful, fabulous, hilarious gals, and I was thrilled to be on the podcast.
Truly, so, that's why I was here.
I needed that. I was like, man, I'll get it out of her.
Yeah, always.
And that's why we're here. Okay, now everybody go.
I do this every podcast.
We're not even recording this right now, Katie. We just wanted the clarification.
Yes, it was all a ruse. Exactly.
No, I remember that you, I remember when you dated that guy, because I remember once I was at another bar, Cobra, and somebody was like saying something about, we were just like talking about different people, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody was like, is Katie dating anybody? And I was like, yeah, she has a boyfriend. I think he lives in Italy though. And it was some guy, and I wish I could remember who it was, because I would absolutely tell you.
Dad.
But he was like, I feel like you're making that up. And I was like,
that's
why?
So
I was like, why would I make that up? Like, it's not. I think
she
said that,
like,
she has
you,
a boyfriend,
bro,
that lives in Italy. And they were like,
it definitely has like the my girlfriend in MySpace in Canada vibes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, literally what they thought I was doing to them. And I was just like, I wouldn't like. Lie for her with this bad lie. I would make up something better. Like, if I was making up a pretend boyfriend for you, I wouldn't be like, oh, he just lives in Italy.
Yeah.
I would love a long distance boyfriend. Honestly, I would love it.
Have you never been in a long distance relationship?
No. And nobody's ever like, if somebody's moving, they're not like, please, I'd like to stay in touch with you. But like, that's not like, I don't know. Okay, so I was sitting there thinking about this, and I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
About long distance stuff or no?
Oh, long distance relationship. Oh, because you like have somebody like emotionally like talk to you that'll like is like obligated to like hear you like tell stuff about your cat and like stuff you need to get off your chest. But then they're also like not around you.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that it was like, I think it was, I don't know. I mean, in my experience with long distance, because I feel you where it's like my personal space is like pretty crucial. And yeah. I will say like, because I am in a relationship now and we are very new and we are quarantining together. And that's like pretty intense. I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. I mean, it's great. I like very much like love this person and think he's wonderful. But it
don't
is like
say his name, but stuff. Say his social.
What's that? His handles.
I'll drop.
No, his social security number.
I said don't say his name, but say his social.
His name is Luke, and he's really great. But I will say that like I live alone. Like alone time is very important. So I thought, and especially like when I was dating Emanuele, was his name. He was the Italian dude. The situation was I had lived in Italy for a long time. I moved back to the States, and I was in Nashville saving up money to go to Los Angeles. And so it was like. And I had like a time limit, and I was like in August or September, whenever it was, like I'm gonna be moving. And so I was like working my ass off and really like trying to like hustle and make it happen as fast as humanly possible because I was living at home and I was just like, I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
So I was like very much like, got a call from Chattanooga for no reason. So I was like,
3, shout out.
Hey, honey.
I love area codes.
I love area codes. Can we just take a second? What's your favorite one, don't think?
504.
Oh, 615.
615.
That's mine.
But I was like, you know, so for that reason, like having something to do and always working, I was like, it's actually good that I don't have to like fuck with like a tangible boyfriend right now because like I don't have the time. And it's like, I only really have time like every day for like a 30-minute phone call and that's it. So it was like, in that world, it was great. But I will say that was the only upside. And as a matter of fact, it was like one of the biggest catastrophes of my like romantic life. Cause it was just like extreme.
Talking on the phone.
Well, it was also like talking to someone on the phone with like a fucking 9-hour difference. Cause he was in Rome. And it was just like really intense. Could never have the time. Nobody wanted to compromise for the other. And then it was also just like, I also just think that you just learn a lot about people. And like, you know, we were monogamous the whole time, but that got really fucking tough. I mean, neither of us ever like messed around, but then we opened the conversation at one point because we're like, we're literally in different countries and we haven't been dating that long. Like, this kind of intense. And then, like, it was a situation where, like, we opened the conversation, and then because we opened the conversation, it, like, everybody, like, got jealous of the idea of opening up the relationship. It just got so messy. It got so messy so fast.
Yeah. And honestly, you gotta keep it a secret.
You have to, if you cheat on someone, you can't tell, and that's why we're here, is to spread that little nugget. Information. No, but I mean, you know, I've met a couple of people that have made it work long distance, but I don't know if I'm cut out for it, to be real, you know?
Yeah.
I like, this is what I ideally want, is, do you know Tim Burton? I don't know, not personally, but like, if you do, you can tell me.
His work,
like,
yes.
So So he and Helena Bonham Carter, I heard that they have a giant house, and one of them has one side of it, and one of them has the other, and then the kids have the middle.
That's so funny.
That's a good
setup. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? And they can be together if they want, but they don't have to be. They've got their own house.
Dude, truly, it's like, they say, like, money doesn't buy you happiness. It fucking
does.
Well, I feel
it buys you personal space.
My parents,
yeah,
who have, my parents are not rich at all, but they, my dad has always had like a space away. I hate the phrase man cave a lot, but it is like a, you know what I'm saying when I say that. Like, he's not like, it's not like he has like neon Bud Light signs.
I think I like man cave versus father's corner.
Oh God. Yeah. He had a father's corner.
Daddy's basement.
Well, and it was never like a room. Like he would just have like a space in the garage or like we never used our garage for cars. It was always like where my dad hung out. And
yeah.
Oh yeah.
And like
my garage is for Polly Pocket.
Yeah, garage.
And so, like, I feel like that helped their marriage. That, like, if they wanted separate time, they could go to separate areas of the house. You know, like mom would have like her area, and then my dad would have his area. And you know, that's like a poor person version of the Helena Bonham Carter house.
I love that.
You just hang out in the garage.
That's more attainable for me.
Yeah. So just try to get a home with a...
I just got to marry like a salesman or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought about that like with like living with somebody. You want to have like a separate space. Like I feel very bad for people that like share a studio apartment. Like with another person, because like, where do you go?
I don't know. It's tough to even be quarantined together because I have a studio apartment.
Yeah, and it's how like that. It would be impossible.
It's tough, man, and it's like we both have like shit to do in the day, and it's really hard because like he's like editing stuff on his computer and whatever. And he has, like, sort of, it's not his fault, and I would rather him be here and do this than not, but it's, like, he has sort of taken over my space to where I would do my work, and, like, I have the couch, and then, because he has a big monitor that he has put, like, in, on my kitchen table where I normally do my work, because I like how much light is in there and whatever, and then we sort of got to a point where we're, like, well, we are going to be in this long enough that it, like, truly makes sense to buy him a desk.
Fuck off.
So it's for him to fuck off. And we have broken up and I hate
Mary J, do not sabotage this relationship.
Mary J,
like you did her last.
Is there something you want to say? Yeah. But it's just like truly like having, like we're getting him like a desk. I think it's arriving. Should be here like today or tomorrow.
From but where?
It's like on the other side of my studio apartment. And it's like there is a wall that separates the kitchen from the like bedroom living room space. The setup is gonna be like he's gonna have his zone, I'm gonna have my zone, and during the day when we're working we're not gonna be in one another's eye line, which I think is truly crucial. It's like I have to feel alone in some way and I have to be able to focus. I mean, it's like nice, but it's like I like him so much that if I do see him I want to like hang out with him, I want to like spend time with him. Like we haven't been together for that long. It's not like, you know, like the like love is dead and I like don't want to like look at him ever. It's like I would like to spend quality time with him, but it's like when I'm working I have to work. And you know, it's just
where did you guys meet?
We met, well, I've known him for a long, or I mean, I don't know, we have like been in the same circle of friends I think for a long time, where he is like a part of like a comedy collective that was in Chicago that I've known about and like knew members of separately. I didn't really know him very well, and then I like my brother has known him longer than I have, to be real, but I always knew of him. And then like I saw his show when it came to LA like a year ago and met him then, I think, and then met him again when they finally made like they like permanently moved out here in like October. And then so, like, I ran into him, like, I would run into him, like, out and about, and and then I saw him on Hinge, and it was like sort of the perfect thing where it was like, I know that I like I sort of generally like your vibe, and now this is like confirmation that you're single, so I'm just like gonna get in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was also so rad to be able to do that and have a bajillion people like in my circle that I know and love and trust be like, oh, this is a good person, you know what I mean?
And like, then you can just like freely talk.
Yes. And it was like, because I've done my fair share of online dating, and it's like, it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're just like totally going in blind. And it's like,
yeah,
it's so nice to have some people be like, oh yeah, like that's a, not a, a crazy person.
Yeah.
It's like wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a dude once that like, slid into my Facebook DMs once.
That's a big deal.
And he had gone
Hard. That's awful.
Well, this was like, I think maybe even before dating apps were like a big thing. And
okay.
And he had like gone to high school with some friends of mine. Like I knew who he was, but I didn't ever really know him. And so I messaged some friends that knew him and I was like, hey, is this dude cool? And they were like, no. They were all like,
did you see him anyway?
No, don't. No, I didn't. Because they were like, no, he's like had a mental breakdown since high school and like he's really crazy and like, wow. He's very nice, but you should not go out with him. Like everybody. I asked like 5 people thinking they'd be like, yes, girl, he's so cute. Get it. And they were like, he's really let himself go since high school. He's not that cute anymore. Those photos are old. He is a wreck. Like everybody was like, don't do it.
Dude,
so
that's
it's nice that you got the opposite response, which is great.
I mean, fucking finally. I don't know. I mean, I feel really good about this person. I feel lucky to have him in my life. I feel like I've also had my fair share of like horseshit.
Yeah.
Like over the last couple of years.
You and deserve like, the best.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, I said you deserve the best.
I deserve the best. Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just paying your dues, man. But like, dude, people who lie about like, or people that have do the like old photos trick is like pretty.
Oh god,
to me.
Especially this guy used to be super hot. Like,
oh,
this guy on Bumble that I like, he had like really cute photos, and then I went to meet him, and I'm not like judgmental like about weight because I struggle with weight, but he was like significantly like bigger than his photos,
yeah.
And he also like had not aged well. Like his photos were clearly like old, and I only realized that after I saw him.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I wanted to honestly just say something and be like, dude, I'm not gonna date you, but you should know if you want people to date you, this is like, you should not have old photos. That's people are gonna meet you and be horrified.
Right. I mean, it's like, exactly. And it's the easy, like the simple man's response is like, oh, what, you're not interested in me because I'm fat, or you're not interested in me because I'm short, or you're not. It's like, no, dude, I'm not interested in you because you fucking lied to me.
Right.
It's like, now any semblance of trust that may have been there is like gone, and I'm not interested in like building that with you.
Well,
like that's
to me,
just like
that like says something that like you're not okay with yourself, and that's not somebody I want to date. Like,
yeah,
when I was on dating apps, would always post photos of myself that like showed what I looked like, you know, like I have some photos where I could
a full body photo.
Yeah, like I could easily catfish and use like my very best photos and show off my best features. But it's like, I want somebody to know like, hey, this is what I look like. You're either into it or you're not. But I'm not going to like trick you into liking the best version of me. Like, this is 100%. Who I am. And if somebody's doing that online and they're posting photos that make themselves look like taller or thinner or whatever, it's like, then that tells me that you're not okay with your weight and you're not happy with yourself. And I don't want to date somebody who's like so uncomfortable with the way they look that they can't show me, you know?
They're like, I'm not comfortable with it. So
I always like to post like a flirtatious mixture, sort of like a witch's brew of photo options. Where
here's what
like,
I can do. Here's what
like
I normally do.
Thirsty one, yes. Where it's like, this is literally like a headshot where I have been photoshopped and I look hot as fuck. and I was like not bloated that day. And then the next one is like, this is also me, and I do not have makeup on, and it is like a different angle, and I am smart.
This is a banger. This is a deep cut.
Yes, exactly. This is a B-side.
We're versatile. That's the thing, okay? We all look different at different times.
Exactly. Yeah. Y'all were here. I was just telling someone about this. I fucking... The first online date I ever went on, I was like a freshman in college, and I went on a date with this guy who said, so I was 18, he said that he was like 24, and then when I showed up to the date, we like went and got coffee, there was like not a world where he was under 36. He was like,
that's disgusting.
Significantly older, and significantly like looked so much older in his photos, had clearly posted photos of him as a younger person. And then I learned what he did for a living. Fucking was a high school girls swim coach.
Oh, no. I
just turned 18 and he went on a date with me.
Okay.
And it was just like, that's everything, man. Like, I don't, it's like, so fucked.
So creepy.
I know.
That, just honest to God, the fucking, like, sometimes when I go on a Bumble date, I just want to look at them and just be like, how fucking dare you?
Right.
Like, how dare you, like, know that I'm going to be nice and not be like, wow, you are 10 years older than your photos. It's like, how dare you assume I'm going to be nice? One day I won't be. One day I'll be at the end of my rope.
I will act like a child who turns around and says, why is he so old?
That's so funny. Exactly. I mean, but it's like literally.
Yeah.
That's what's so annoying about that stuff. Because like, yeah, I did go on a date with that guy. I didn't turn and run. Because it's like, I don't know. I think there's a million. I mean, we could unpack this forever. But it's like, yeah, I just made room for him.
Yeah.
And entertained it and was nice. And then, like, at the end, felt uncomfortable when I, like, didn't want to kiss him.
Yep.
And felt uncomfortable and was, like, trying to figure out how to get out of the date. But then, like, kind of just didn't because I like, didn't want to hurt his feelings. But it's, like,
yeah.
I think, honestly,
it's awful.
I mean, it's awful. I mean, I have only just recently gotten to a point where I feel kind of comfortable enough to be, like, I think I've only cut off a couple of dates mid-date when it's been really bad, but for the most part, it's like, you know, like, I've only recently been like, I'm actually not interested and, like, just want you to know straight up. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
good. It's hard, but it's fucking hard. I think we've just been wired to make room for people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, but these dicks, like, are they're wasting our time, and somehow that's okay. You know?
Yeah.
And
one time on Tinder before I got banned, he, RIP, this guy messaged me and he was like, I have a fuck ton of like problems. And he was like, I'm like fat. I don't have custody of my kids. I,
yikes, dude.
He was like, I just got off like being on like coke addict. I just got finished with that. And then like, he goes, I just want someone to eat with me. I'm honestly overspending, so I don't do coke on food. Will you go eat with me? So I was like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. Like, so
why would you say yes?
Because. Well, let me tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because he was like, I don't want to have sex. I just want someone to eat with me. And I was like, that's great. And he was like, let's go to Barcelona. And I was like, shit, I have wanted to eat there.
Okay.
And so I was like, yeah, that's great. And he was like, I'll pay for everything. And I was like, say no more. I'm there. And so I got there and he just like talked to me for like, we just ate, like he knew everything on the menu. Like we just ate like a fuck ton of prosciutto and like shit. And then he like was like telling me all his problems and I was just eating. And having a great time and just being like, yeah, that really sucks, dude. I'm so sorry. Like, good for you for getting, you know, off coke. And then we, like, left and we said goodbye. And he paid for my valet tip. And then he unmatched me.
Damn, that's very real. That's really intense. And, like, honestly, I mean, look, good for you. I think doing the Lord's work. I'll say it right now.
I don't.
That's real. But I mean, it's like, that's really crazy. And like, I mean, that also kind of is the beautiful thing about, you know, dating apps and stuff. It's like, yeah, some people are just like, yeah, really don't have any other way to make any like human connection. And it's like, yeah, I don't know, good on him for, I guess, being so honest, and good on you for like trusting people.
I don't know.
We were meeting in a public place, and I was like, shit, I fucking have, like, I would love to, like, tell people I ate there. I was like, I can't wait. My mom is going to be so interested in what I have to say.
I feel like there's a difference in, like, lying about who you are and marketing who you are. Like,
yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be like, look, I have a fuck ton of problems. You down to eat some food? Because... we could figure that out later. But, like, maybe just being like, hey, yeah, I'm trying to figure some shit out right now. I've recently entered recovery, but I would love to take you out for a meal. Like, that might be fine.
But I mean, well, someone like
that. I kind of love it.
Well, someone like that, in my opinion, that seems like they can't, in such need for, like, just, like, having a meal with someone to see that from space, like, probably does not have the same capacity, yeah, or, like, is not as equipped as we might be with, yeah, like, just social.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, or just, like, have it, like, being graceful enough to, like, you know what I mean? It's tough. I mean, you never know where someone's coming from, and, yeah, goddamn. It's, like, I respect that dude for being so straight up.
Yeah. Yes. I thought he was nice. Like, I had a great time. I was like, whatever. Like, I was going to be like, anytime you want to fucking eat, like, I'm down. Like, I will totally eat.
And you don't
have to. Fuck you. I'll never, but I will eat.
Yeah.
You don't have his phone number?
I will not eat it at your house.
Yeah.
What?
You don't have his phone number?
No, we just talked, like, once he was like, meet me in Barcelona. I was like, okay, cool. We didn't even exchange numbers.
Yeah.
Wow. I just was like in it for that sweet, sweet honey.
Yeah. That's, I will, awesome. For our listeners who don't know, that's like a pretty upscale restaurant in Nashville. So,
I know. I got fruit tea.
She got fruit tea on this day. Okay. Fucking fancy.
It was so good.
That's so awesome.
I was thinking about when you were talking about Al Green, just thinking about wrapping up the episode, and I remembered that the way that I learned who Al Green was is also very embarrassing, because I learned about Al Green from the movie On the Line, which is it's a movie starring NSYNC's Lance Bass.
Yes.
In which he meets a beautiful woman on the train, on the line, and...
Oh! Is it Melissa Joan Hart?
No, it's Emmanuel Shrieky, who was also in the TV show Entourage. Yeah, she's not very famous. She was in Entourage. She was, like, a big, big part of Entourage, but...
Entourage.
I just remember her name because it was, like, she was going to be the next big thing because she was in a movie with Lance Bass, but... But they bond over the fact that he is listening to Al Green.
Oh, I do know who she is.
And, yeah, everybody'd recognize her. If you Google Emmanuel Shrieky.
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. But, yeah, he meets this gorgeous woman, and she's like, you like Al Green? And he's like, "What? I love Al Green. Do you like Al Green? And she's like, oh, my God, I love Al Green. And then that's how they start dating. And so I remember as a kid being like, well, that's how you fall in love. I'm going to meet my match. And literally, like, every time I've ever taken a train, I've listened to Al Green just in case.
That's really sweet.
Even now, I'm like, maybe there's somebody better than my boyfriend out there. I need it. Just kidding.
If anyone asks, like, if anyone, like, acts like they like me and it's been less than 6 months, I'm like, you're insane.
I have the opposite. If people don't like me within 6 minutes of meeting me, I'm like, what? Why? What don't you like about me? Speaking of likable people, yeah. We'll wrap up the episode. Katie, do you have anything else that you'd like to share or anything that you'd like to plug?
Hit smash that follow, sweet peas, and follow at sex_is_weird I'm making merch. I've got a TeePublic site that's on my Instagram thing and the bio, and if you want a portrait, then hit me up, because that's how I'm paying my rent and I desperately need it.
Yes, give her all your money, let her draw you.
It's awesome.
Pay her to draw us. Commission a portrait of Whoops for us, so do that, listeners.
Yes,
don't put my clammy hands in it.
Oh my god.
Don't.
Well, Mary J, where can people find you on social media?
At Mary J. Berger on all platforms.
You guys should already know that. I'm at Perkalurk on Instagram, and we are at Whoops Podcast on Instagram and at Whoops Pod on Twitter. Give us a follow. Give us a review. Tell your friends to listen. Hope you guys are staying safe and staying home. That's just another side note of, like, my God, I've seen so many people this week. People are reaching their final limit of being like, I'm so over quarantine. Let's go, fuck it. Let's not quarantine anymore. Stop doing that. Stay home.
Yeah.
Stay with the people that you've been quarantining with. Like, don't go on road trips. Don't go out with your friends.
I went to Zaxby's and I got a sour stomach.
There you go.
Don't go anywhere.
don't leave. You'll get a sour stomach wherever you go.
I did.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week.